Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, well, I get to sit down with actress Amanda Abington and we have a really good natter and you're about to hear it. Before we do, press play on the chat. I just want to say thanks to Scroobius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. I'd also like to thank 76 for producing this podcast. And props to 76 because at the moment podcasts are being recorded remotely, so you know there's more work to be done. You know, when these things are done over Zoom, sometimes they can be glitchy, sometimes there can be time delay, and 76 does an amazing job of making it all sound really nice for your listening pleasure. So thanks to 76 for that. Also, if this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track podcast, then when you finish listening to this Ace chat, go and have a look in the archives because you'll have access to over 153 episodes where you can listen to me chatting to all manner of actors, actresses, DJs, producers. I mean, if you're obviously listening to this because you're a fan of Amanda's work, and if you like fantastic British actresses, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Maxine Peake. That's a great listen. What other actors have I had recently? Michael Smiley a couple of weeks ago. So go and have a look in the archives and you'll find some smashing chats to go and have a listen to. And if that's not enough, I do also have a Patreon page. So each week I put up loads of radio shows, video episodes, and sometimes I put other episodes up, like up front of them getting a general release. So, and it also just gives you an opportunity to support the podcast as well. You can find out about all of this stuff at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Anyway, I'm done with the kind of intro stuff now. Let's get on with today's episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with the wonderful Amanda Abington. Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Eggfried. Also, they've got a new kids range and it's called Small Fried and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we're recording. Sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom, Amanda Abington, hello.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good. We've just had a chat that we're currently sporting identical haircuts at the moment.
Yeah. Identical haircuts, which our children don't like, or which people that we love don't like. So
completely.
Yeah.
Completely. But doesn't matter. Well, thanks loads for giving up your time today to come and chat records with me.
Thank you. I love it. I'll always talk about music wherever I can.
Wonderful. Well, before we get on to that, just quickly, have you found the last sort of 3-4 months of lockdown as a mum and a human and as a creative?
Well, I'm quite a loner anyway, so I'm a bit of an introvert anyway. So the idea of sort of just being on my own in my house for a considerable amount of time didn't worry me too much. And actually, I quite like, there were moments where I got really panicky and I thought, oh my God, is this it now? Is this how we're just going to live for the rest of our lives? It was when the homeschooling started that I was a little bit like, oh God, I can't do this. Cause I'm not a teacher. And having a nearly 15 year old boy and a 12 year old girl who don't really get on most of the time in the house, was a little bit like, and having to field that and having to helicopter parent them homeschooling and making sure they were doing it and they weren't WhatsApping their mate was quite, and I've always had a respect for teachers, but now I'm like, mate, you do a thankless job. They just do, and you understand why now that teaching is a vocation, because you have to love it, because otherwise you would just kill them. You know what I mean? So I didn't mind the lockdown. I thought I liked the serenity of it. I didn't like the virus, obviously, but I kind of liked the idea of it. Just everyone just like slowing down a little bit and actually taking time. But then the work thing kicked in, and it was like, oh yeah, no one's earning any money. So that was a bit of a worry. But it was, yeah, and it was like, oh crikey, then we've got to start thinking about that. And sort of creatively as well. I mean, I was supposed to be doing a play now, and I was supposed to be doing a little telly job, and that had all stopped. And so, because you gear yourself up to do a play, and I was really looking forward to doing this play, and then they were going to do it at the end of the year, and then it was like, no, in the theatres, we don't know when the theatres are opening next. So that felt really weird, that hiatus of like actually not knowing where theatre's going and still not really knowing what's going to happen with theatre. And that's slightly worrying for me and a lot of my friends, because theatre is such an important part of our lives and our livelihood. And I think, you know, if it immeasurably changes, I don't know the outcome of that. So that's quite, you know, it's quite a worrying time in terms of a huge part of our careers. The unknown of that is the unknowing part of that is slightly worrying, because theatres, I love theatre and I love doing it and I love going. So that's a bit scary.
Should we talk about some records?
Yeah.
Amanda, I want you to tell me the song with the greatest ever intro.
I think it's Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Wonderful choice.
Because it's one of the, it was 1991 and they were just kind of coming through, breaking through. And I remember watching that video, you know, it's such an iconic video now of the cheerleaders and that dark grungy thing. And I remember reading actually that they put the Nirvana put out a flyer, they pasted them all around saying any kids from 17 to 25 who want to come and appear in a music video dress as like college grunge.
Really?
So they're all just kids that they got from a flyer. But that intro is, and I listened to it again the other day, because I listened to Nirvana a lot still, and I listened to it yesterday just to reaffirm what I thought about it. And it is such, you know exactly what it is, and you have this massive cacophony of like drums and guitar, and then it comes right back down when you have that down, and you think, oh, where's it going now? It's like, I think it's like one of the most perfect rock songs ever written.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, they were the masters of the kind of loud, quiet, you know, every single song just stripped down. And then when the chorus comes, regarding the intro, the producer said of that, that when he first heard the finished version, it sounded like, when all the drums and the guitars kick in, it just sounded like a house was collapsing on top of you. And I just thought, that sums that up perfectly.
Because it comes from nowhere. It starts at, like, it comes in at 90. And you think, where's this going to, I don't know where this is going to go. So when they bring it right down before he starts singing, it's, I think it's a bit, it's a bit genius. And he said, didn't he, Kurt Cobain said that it was a he's a blatant rip-off of a Pixies song. Like, he was so into the Pixies at that time that actually he just wanted to emulate them. And I think, you know, you can really hear the Pixies in their, a lot of their music. But it's a phenomenal 100%. Song.
But I also think that so many more people now know about the Pixies because of Nirvana.
Oh, completely.
And as much as they were floating about before that, it was, everyone then went back.
Yeah, they did. I think they were. They really put them on the map again. They did, you know.
And that, I mean, I've been, I run like a rock club and have done for like 30 years, and I've never seen a moment in 30 years where music comes and goes. If I drop that Teen Spirit, the minute people hear that little guitar lick at the beginning, it still causes fucking mayhem. Yeah. And it's like, how many songs can do that 30 years later, just have that huge
that impact, not that sort of, it's like, it's definitely up there as one of the, like, a benchmark of how to write the, I mean, because it was so, and actually, you know, in hindsight now, when you think about, you know, he never wanted to be famous, and he never, you know, he just wanted to play music. So all that, you can feel it, and you can feel the rage, and you can feel the, it's, I mean, Dave Grohl's drumming on it is, it's unbelievable. It's honestly, every time I play it, it just gives me goosebumps, and I've done it for years and years and played it, and like you say, as soon as you put it on, everyone goes, you know, it has that visceral effect still, you know, it still has that visceral effect, and his vocals on completely. It are just, oh, they were amazing.
It's a weird thing about 6 months ago, I kind of ended up sort of taking Nirvana for granted, because, like, I'm 47, so when like grunge dropped, I was like 19, 20, whatever it was. And it was just, I was at the perfect age for it, you know, and that was what I wanted to, it just was incredible. It was so exciting. Yeah. And I guess because I've been DJing them records for so long, I'd sort of taken for granted. Then about 6 months ago, I just saw a performance on YouTube, just an MTV performance of them playing Drain You. And I was like, oh, my God. And I went and listened to Nirvana albums again, which I hadn't done for years. And you say that about his voice. It's like, he doesn't get credited as, like, one of the greatest vocalists of all time. His voice is off the scale.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, when you see that MTV Unplugged thing that they did, and he sings The Man Who Sold the World, there's a bit at the end. There's a bit at the end where the camera pans to him, and he sings one line, and it's heartbreaking when you see this look across his face. There's something that happens to him when he sings this one line, and that's right. And it's giving me goosebumps thinking about it. And the amount of emotion he has in his voice, and as you say, you know, he's not credited being a really good singer. He was, but his control was amazing. I think they were definitely like a groundbreaking, certainly, like they had a big effect on me and my music taste. They sent me like the Pixies way, and they said, you know, I started to look at the Ramones more and stuff like that, you know. They were very much a totally amazing rock band, and he's, I just, okay, really, really sad that he's not here anymore. But sort of, I suppose, meant to be, I guess. He's, do you know, like, with, you know, when you read about people like, you know, Amy Winehouse and, you know, Janis Joplin and people like that, you think, I don't know how long they could have lasted, because they had such a fire, and they had such a a rage and a sadness in them that they, it feels like they did kind of burn themselves out, and they gave us the most beautiful things, and you couldn't do it anymore. And I suppose that's what makes them more unattainable, you know, and it gives them that kind of godlike status. It does. I just think, you know, they're very hard to reach that, and they do it.
100%. Amanda, what was the first song that you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you?
Syreeta and Stevie Wonder, To Know You Is To Love You.
Lovely.
It was, I remember someone very close to me playing it to me, and them saying to me, I can't listen to this very, very often because it has a profound effect on me. And I remember hearing it for the first time, and just when her vocals come in and she's singing about him, and say it's and just the production of it, just like, you know, all the strings on it towards the end of the song, is they are just mesmeric, and his voice and her voice. And of course I think they were either going through a divorce or they had divorced at the time, so it was all about them, and it was all about this love that they couldn't keep together, but they just made this most amazing music. And it makes me well up every time I listen to it, because it's like a perfect piece of music. It's just beautiful, and the lyrics in it.
How old would you have been when you first heard that?
I didn't hear it till I was about in my mid-20s, my mid to late 20s. I didn't hear it, and I didn't really know about Syreeta until I heard that song, and then I dug around and started downloading buying a lot of her stuff. I'd always been a huge fan of Stevie Wonder, obviously, because I think, you know, he's ridiculous. But that song certainly, and again, you know, like the person who played it to me, you know, I can't listen to that song very often. There's something profoundly moving about it and heartbreaking. If you really just sit down and put your headphones on and you just get into it, it's an incredible piece of writing, I think. Yeah, I urge anyone that hasn't heard it to listen to it.
What's the emotion? What was the emotion that you got from hearing that?
Well, for me, it was because I'm such an old romantic, and I firmly believe in love, and I firmly believe in, you know, that soulmates and things like this. I'm such a ridiculous Shakespearean flipping romantic, and that for me is like the epitome of yearning and angst and wanting to be with somebody but you can't, and the fact that they were, you know, that they loved each other but they couldn't be together, and it's sort of heartbreaking. It makes me feel really sad. They're, but also strangely it's uplifting, because, you know, it talks about being free, you know, being free to love each other, and then, you know, whether you come back to each other, you do, or if you don't, then it's not meant to be. And it's like a little Shakespearean play, that song. I think
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, you mentioned sort of it makes you feel sad. Like, if you're having a day where you're feeling a bit low, what sort of music do you lean towards? Do you sort of embellish them feelings and listen to something maybe quite somber, or do you put on something to try and lift you out of it, or are you quite comfortable to kind of enjoy that mood? And
I suppose,
do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. God, I mean, I think music is such an important part of anything, you know, any really sad. I'll indulge it a bit because I think it's important to indulge that emotion of feeling sad and go through it. So I usually go to Rumours, you know, because that's that's probably like, you know, the ultimate fucking, I'll let my, you know, Radiohead, I listen to Radiohead a lot, you know, and go through it. I think it's really good. It's a cathartic thing to go through. And music guides you through that. Music is so important at guiding you and making you feel how you're supposed to feel. So I think, you know, I tend to listen to what I'm thinking about and then just put something on, and then it leads me to, yeah, it'll probably lead me to, I don't know, I'm trying to think now, like ABBA. Do you know what I mean? Eventually you'll get there and you'll get to a really good feel good, you know, a bit of disco, or, you know, the Four Tops or stuff like that. You know, I will indulge it, and I will play. I'm always playing sad songs. I'm always, there's a song by Rachel Agata called Elephants, which again, is like, it's just about breaking. It's about a breakup, and it's so moving, and I've never not listened to that and cried my eyes out. Rather self-indulgently, I think, but I've always cried my eyes out to that song. But I do think there's something important about doing that, you know, not to sound too actressy and stuff, but I do think it
totally helps.
Music helps you so much, you know. It's a really important tool for anything, really. Anything you need, there is a song or a piece of music you can go to in order to feel something or get through something, you know.
100%.
So, I indulge it.
Well, for track three, I want to know, Amanda, the song reminds you of your time at school.
This was really hard because growing up, I loved the Beastie Boys and Def Jam records, and but I also was a massive fan of Mel and Kim, and, you know, Stock Aitken and Waterman and things like that. So that was such a huge part of my life. And there was a song actually that I couldn't find that Roxanne Shante used to sing, and I couldn't remember the name of it. But my go-to song was Redhead Kingpin and the FBI, and it was Do the Right Thing.
What a tune!
You remember? Wasn't it?
I'll let you into a secret. As much as I was throwing myself around to everything that the Beasties was doing, I was secretly having a little move around my room to Respectable and Fun, Love and Money. Don't you worry about that.
But they were great. Fun, Love and Money was great. And Respectable. And what was it, Showing Out?
Of course.
I can't remember. But also, you know, I was a huge Curiosity Killed the Cat fan. Like, I would wear the beret and the striped top, and I was trying to be Ben I fancied him. He was my first crush, actually, Ben from Curiosity. But I kept going back to, you know, to the rap and to particularly stuff that was coming out of America, like, you know, early kind of Rob Bass and DJ Easy Run and people like that, you know, and Salt and Pepper as well. I think they were a big influence on me growing up. And then, of course, you know, Madonna as well. But that Do the Right Thing song was, I just loved it. I loved the chorus when the vocals came in, you know. it was a proper tune. And it is a proper tune. It's still, yeah. I still love it.
Massively.
It's great.
Was the Roxanne tune Bangs Oh McGann to the Moon?
I can't find it anywhere. The bit at the end where Bugs Bunny goes, the rabbit kicked the bucket, the rabbit That's kicked it. The bucket. She does that bit at the end.
Yeah.
I love that song. I remember being at school and there was a group of girls that I used to hang around with. We were like this gang and we'd all bring our little tape. Do you remember those little tape recorder boxes that had two tapes and they used to come like in red and black and white. And I had a white one and we'd bring them in and I'd have my two tapes that I pressed play and record for the top 40. Do you remember you used to do that? Play and record?
Always.
And Roxanne Shine was always the one I play. I loved that. But I couldn't find it to remember to play it. So
how was school? Did you enjoy school?
I did enjoy school. I liked secondary school. I didn't like primary school at all, but secondary school I loved. And I went to a really lovely school just down the road, actually, from where I live now. And we had this, it was right in the country. And so we'd have like big fields and we'd go and have lunch at lunchtime. And then we'd just lay around playing music. You know, we'd just play music and make up routines and things. And it was such a happy time, especially during the summer term. I have really fond memories of secondary school. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I wasn't academic, but I did like school.
So you say you wasn't academic. So obviously, seeing where your career's gone, you was obviously creative. And was that encouraged at school?
Yeah, it was actually. Surprisingly, it was. I had an amazing drama teacher who I'm still in touch with called Mr. Towndrow, and he'd say to me, you know, you should be an actress. And at that point, I wanted to be a dancer. You know, I was training to be a dancer, and I was going to ballet every night and trying to get into dance school after secondary school. But he said, I think even then he was saying, you know, I think acting is something you should do. But the thing was with me, there were subjects. And I think my son is the same now, is that I could apply myself. I had the ability, if it didn't interest me, I was like, I can't be bothered. So history interested me, English, art, maths, I hated. So I just didn't bother. Physics, I hated. Chemistry, I loved, and if I liked something, I'd engage, and that's what my son's doing now. So he's furious for me. I'm like, mate, you can do this, and he said, yeah, but Papa said, Granddad said that you used to do it, and I'm like, don't listen to him. You know, don't listen to your granddad. He doesn't know what I was talking about. So I was encouraged by a lot of people actually at school to carry on the artistic side. It was never frowned upon by my parents or by my teachers, which was nice, you know, which I think is quite rare, especially back then. You know, there was always this thing of like, well, you need a backup. Do you know what I mean? You need something else because you might not get this. But that never happened. I think they were very supportive, and that just spurred me on to want to do it even more. So it was they were very encouraging.
Was you a confident kid?
No. And I'm not really confident now, actually. I'm only confident about things that I'm passionate about. But I'm very shy. I'm really shy. When I'm out, I tend to sort of not engage much and just sort of sit and observe. But I was really shy at school. Yeah, really, very shy. I'd been bullied as a kid at primary school. So I think that had some bearing on my not wanting to be forthcoming in things. I learned at a very early age that I could make people laugh. So I used to use that in order to get in with the popular kids. But I was never that.
Did you not like attention then?
No, hated it. Hated attention. I still do. I have to be in a really relaxed environment with people I really know in order to really be confident enough to talk and to be outgoing, you know. Yeah. Or if I'm talking about stuff like this, like music that I love, if I'm talking about that, or acting or things that I find really interesting, then I'm more likely to be confident about it. But actually, it takes a lot of gearing up and a lot of pushing inside me to kind of be outspoken and quite confident, you know. Yeah, that's why I'm an actor. That. Yeah, do you?
Yeah, think so.
Are you quite shy?
I'd probably say no, but then the more I think about it, the more I think I'm totally comfortable in an environment where I can talk about the things that I'm really passionate about, much like what you've just said there. Like, I can get so engrossed and talk with such confidence about music and film and things like that, the things that I'm into. But I think if I find myself in a scenario around people that have very little interest in that, and they're talking about something completely alien to me, I then kind of get that imposter syndrome thing a little bit, where I just think, oh God, I don't know if I'm kind of fitting in here. I don't know, like, should I be?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. I feel a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That face you just pulled there, which no one would have seen, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? Yeah. And I feel myself sort of sit back from the conversation and just like breathe a bit and go, I have no idea now what's going on. I have no, because I also, when that happens, I'll drift off and start thinking about other things. So if somebody says, what do you think, Amanda? I'm like, what? Sorry, I was thinking about something else. Because if I'm not engaged, I'll just go off and daydream. I'm a bit of a daydreamer. So, you know. Collecting flies, that sort of thing, like thinking about.
I'm exactly the same. The amount of times I've sat in meetings and stuff and the kind of attention's come around to me and I'm literally just engrossed in my own memory of could a badger beat a rabbit in a fight or something like that. You know, that's the kind of shit that goes on.
Yeah. Why do you
ever
see baby pigeons? I don't, what, really?
Oh, brilliant. Amanda, what was the first record you bought?
Oh, right. This was Madness, It Must Be Love.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and it was, I think I must have been about nine or 10. And I remember I used to do chores. My mum and dad used to make me do chores, and then I'd get a pound note, which was a lot in those days, actually. And I used to save it all up, and then there was a place called, it was like, do you remember Woolworths? But there was a bigger one called Woolco. Do you remember Woolco? It was a big, don't know whether you would, no, it was, Woolco. And they had a, like WH Smith, they had like at the back of the shop, they had the records and tapes and everything and the singles. And my dad said, do you want to go and get a song? You know, do you want to go and buy a song? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go and get, and I got Madness, It Must Be Love. And I think I got Dollar, Mirror, Mirror. Later on, but certainly Madness was the first one, and I remember having a little record player in my room, and I remember playing it, thinking, "Oh, this is my first little single." I remember the cover as well; it was them sort of doing this, and it was white. Yeah. But I loved that song. I think it's better than the original.
It is. I think it's perfectly fine to say that as well. But if you watch the video. Laddie Siffrey's at the end of the video, there's like a load of people playing strings, and then one takes his sunglasses off and smiles at the camera, and it's Laddie Siffrey.
Oh, that's good. That makes me feel slightly better that I've said that it was a better version, because he must have, you know, given him his blessing.
He probably made a fair few quid out of that as well.
actually, that's true, because I think it was more popular than his version, wasn't it?
Oh, so, God, yeah.
But I love Madness. It's
so weird. It's like Madness is generally the band when I ask people about school, so many people reference Madness, and it was 100% Madness for me as well. It was like that. Yeah. It was just, I think as a kid as well, just the fact that they were such silly bastards in all their videos that they just looked like so much fun, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that was the thing that I loved about them, is that because their music was so good anyway. I mean, all their songs I think were amazing, like One Step Beyond, and I loved, you know, one of my favourite songs was Our House. I used to love that. I used to play that song all the time.
That song, right, Amanda? There's a line in that song, and it's up there with my favourite ever lyrics, and it's so bizarre. But me and my best mate have been thick as thieves for like 40 years. And and we grew up obsessed with Madness. And there's a line in our house, and it says, "I remember how we played Simply Wish the Day Away. Then we'd say nothing will come between us, two dreamers." And like, and we've both just been utter helmets and just tried to pursue the most batshit of ideas throughout our whole lives. And yeah, and I just hear that. And I just love the sentiment in that song as well. I just think it's beautiful. And I've said it a million times on this podcast that Madness are so underrated as a vital part of British culture. And you know, and to take on songs like Embarrassment, you know, a time when racism would have been rife in the UK, and they just put this music out and was like, "Look, this is what we're about. This is what we're about." You know, it's brilliant social commentary.
So brilliant! I think they were so good, and also, you know, their legacy is, like you said, their legacy is incredible. I think, you know, and totally underrated, totally underrated. And I don't know whether it's because they were so wacky, and I hate that word wacky, but they were so like, it's like they didn't take it seriously. But they absolutely did. And I think I think people just go, "Oh, it's just Madness." No, but listen to their lyrics. Yeah. Listen to the lyrics. And just the production on their albums. They're proper. They were a proper band. And again, they were such an influence on me growing up. I mean, them, Funboy 3, you know, all that. They were all really part of... Because also that time, you know, like the 80s was such a weird time for like, you know, that... and all that and all this stuff that was going on that I didn't really understand because I was a kid, but at the same time I knew that there was something going on, there was some kind of movement happening, and they were part of it, you know, they were really part of it. I think I love them, I saw them recently because they were touring, weren't they, and I saw them and they're still so good.
Brilliant.
I mean,
they're still brilliant, aren't they.
Yeah. And he's and Suggsy's voice is still so good. I love him.
Amazing.
Oh, God, they were so good.
Hello. I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode, so you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast, see you on the other side. And in other news, David Van Day from Dollar lives about three roads up from where I'm sitting right now, and run for local councillor where I live.
He's all pro Brexit, isn't he? He's pro Brexit.
Oh yeah. Oh god, yeah.
Did you see that? Did you see the video that he made about Brexit? If you haven't seen it, I'll send it to you. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen because he's so earnest and he's trying to act.
It's
trying to be an actor.
Awful.
It's and there's a good woman at going, "David, what do you think about Brexit?" And he's like, "Well, oh my god, don't do it. Don't just get back with Theresa and start making."
Oh, brilliant! Do Mirror Mirror, come on. Track five, Amanda. I'm going to ask you to tell me the song that soundtracked your time clubbing.
This was quite hard because around this time. Two albums came out that were so influential in my career. There was the song is Block Rocking Beats by the Chemical Brothers, every time that came on in a club, you just see everyone just come in like and just it's such a good dance song, but it was very difficult because also Fat of the Land by the Prodigy came out around that time as well, and there was, you know, Breathe and Firestarter were also kind of up there with my list of favorites. But I think the Chemical Brothers for me just slightly edge it, just slightly win for me. And that block rocking beats, the way it starts and it just builds and builds and builds, It's so good. It's like, again, it's, you know, we were saying about, you know, anthems, like that is an anthem.
Massively.
And it's, they were so good. And they, I remember seeing them at a V festival and just so brilliant to watch. Just the way I loved them. And that would always get me on the dance floor. Any Chemical Brothers song, but particularly Block Rocking Beats, would always get me out on the dance floor.
So where was clubbing for you? Yeah.
The electric ballroom in Camden. Mm-hmm. And then what used to be, what is Coco?
Camden.
Yeah. And then there was Bar Rumba. Do you remember Bar Rumba?
Yeah, Giles Peterson used to DJ there.
That's right. And then I remember there was a little tiny place that we used to go to called Little Stabs at Happiness, which was down by the mall, you know, and Jarvis Cocker DJed there once. And they used to play really good stuff like D-Light and stuff like that and proper old, you know, really good stuff. And also the Garage. I used to go to the Garage in Highbury. They used to do the most amazing indie night on a Saturday night. And they just, just lot of that was such a good night at the Garage. It was brilliant. Like in Spiral Carpets and, you know, the Charlatans and Fool's Gold, you know, they play the Stone Roses. It was all that sort of stuff.
So was that your kind of go-to clubbing? Because you mentioned like the Prodigy, because even because even in indie clubs, like the Chemical Brothers and the Prodigy, they were the sort of two bands really that bridged it. Really, they'd be playing them in like dance clubs across the world, but they were like anthems in indie clubs as well.
They always play like two or three Prodigy and Chemical Brothers songs at the Garage. That was always given. Yeah, and they did. They really did. They were kind of. They, like you said, they bridged that gap between dance and indie, and I think that's why I love them so much. And again, you know, still those two albums, so good. They're so good. They really are the proper produced. Really, those beats as well. The way you can hear. And that, what's this? Is it Setting Sun that the Chemical Brothers did with Noel Gallagher? Incredible, incredible.
Yeah,
love it.
It's huge. Yeah, and I think like both the Chemical Brothers and Liam Howlett, like they just knew how to. They just got like dance music and the drum sounds and just took it to a different level. I think it was so much harder sounding.
Yeah, it needed. Yeah, it was dirty. It was a dirty sound, wasn't it? It wasn't. I'm not very good with like trance and all that. I'm not a massive trance or garage fan, but that was it was like. It was hard and dirty and felt, I don't know, it was, you got in, you know, you could feel it. You could feel the beat in there. Do you know what I mean? You know, the bass was so loud.
It'd give me the same sort of feeling as I would have got from Nirvana or Rage Against the Machine 5 years earlier. You know, it was that sort of hardness and you know.
Well, they're not dissimilar. They're not dissimilar in their kind of arc. Mm. The sound of their music is. It's that same insistent kind of, you know, brilliant underbeat I love them, and I still listen to them now. I still, like, if I go to the gym, I'll always put them on and just like run really furiously for like 20 minutes because it's they're fantastic.
What did you want from clubbing?
I wanted songs that I knew. Like but also what I think a really good club night is that sort of stuff, like the Prodigy, Chemical Brothers, even a bit of Josh Wink, even a bit of that. I quite like, you know, the higher state of consciousness is a really good but also, you know, I like a bit of soul, you know.
Amazing.
I like a bit of, you know, 60s Motown and you know, stuff like D-Light and stuff, you know, like a bit of disco, you know, Cheryl Lynn and people like that. I think if you have all that mixture, it makes for such a good night, you know. If you've got a bit of soul, funk, disco, dance, and a bit of indie in it, you can't go wrong, really.
And it felt like in the mid-90s that was happening in lots of clubs, you know, that kind of hybrid of the kind of, the indie thing, and then the Britpop thing merged with the acid jazz thing, and then so you'd get a bit of that, and you, all of these clubs like Jarvis would be DJing, and he would, you know, and there'd be Northern Soul, and there'd be all of this stuff all thrown in this kind of sort of, I don't know, but it wasn't necessarily the most sort of straightforward of indie nights. It was all of them things all thrown in the pot, and it's, I don't see that in clubland so much now, and I think it's, you know, no. It's a shame that, you know, there's not more events that are more kind of genre blending.
I went to a club recently. I can't remember where we went, but we went to this club night and everyone was on their phone. Everyone was on their phone on the dance floor, not dancing. And it was a bit like, what? I didn't really understand it. I was like, I was up on this balcony with some friends and I was looking down and no one was dancing. And I was a bit like, I don't, yeah. You know, just like the, on the way it's going to be now. It's that just, you're not going to be enjoying the moment. You're just going to be taking selfies of yourself looking like you're enjoying it. It just felt a little bit weird, really. Because I remember when I used to go, I just used to be on the dance
floor. It should be about escapism,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And I used to get on the dance floor and every time a tune came on, everyone would go nuts. And it was such a really, it was like a really lovely, exciting experience to go dancing. And I think that just feels a bit now. I don't, it's not something that people do anymore. People do TikTok and do all that stuff now, which is, I don't really get, you know, just getting old, that's what it is.
Every time I look out of my window or one of my kids walks in the room or walks past me, they're doing some bizarre thing with their arms, and they're just doing like TikToks all the time.
Me too. My daughter, makes me feel, she's a little 12, bit old. And I'm talking to her, I'm saying, have you done your homework? She's going, yeah. I'm saying, stand still. This is insane totally. Now. This is like, it's like a disease. It's like all that. And it's like, what are you
doing? Yep.
Just stand still. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, track 6, a favourite song from an artist from
this
your home county.
This really made me happy when I found this out. It's because this is one of my favourite ever songs of all time ever. It's The Zombies, Time of the Season. And they were from St Albans.
Oh, brilliant.
And I was right. So, like, I can't tell you how happy I was when I read that. And I think one of the, because they had like lots of different lead singers up until, but one of the guys was from Hatfield, which is literally like a spit away. So really made me happy because I love The Zombies. And that song, Time of the Season, is, again, you know, I think that whole like 1968, 1969 period, we were making some phenomenal music. And that was one of the songs that I think is just like, it's such a testament to that time. It's so beautiful. It's so, I love it. I love The Zombies and I love that song. So I was over the moon when I found out it was from St Albans.
I can't think if it, was there anyone else from St Albans when you had a look?
No, I think Deep Purple were from Hertfordshire. And I can't remember who else it was. There was a few metal bands, which I can understand.
Enter Shikaria from around that way, and the subways are from there as well.
Yeah. I think we have a lot of.
But I can't think who else.
But yeah, I think Deep Purple were from around here, which is really, you know, or Black Sabbath or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, I was very chuffed about The Zombies. Because my dad used to, when I was a kid growing up, the weekend, my dad worked all week and I didn't really see him. So at the weekend, he'd sit me down and he'd play me albums. You know, he'd say, look, this is. And so he was the one that introduced me to the Small Faces, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Van Morrison, the Beach Boys, you know, Bob Dylan. He was, you know, and he'd play me an album a week, and so, and because he was like a mod, you know, my dad was a mod from the 60s. Both my mum and dad were mods, so they had this really amazing record collection. And then my mum would come in and say, play us some Kiki D. So I grew up in a very musical house in terms of my education of music. My dad was such a bit of a geek when it came to, you know, albums and stuff. And so he passed that on to me. So I always had a love of all different genres and decades of music. And it was I remember him playing me the Zombies when I was about 15, and going, "Jesus, this is a tune." The way it kicks in, that kind of, you know, that beat is, and his voice as well. Is it Colin Blunstone? Yeah.
And aside from the fact that was an education, getting them weekly sort of album plays with your dad, what beautiful thing to have, like once a week, sit down and listen to an album with your dad.
It was lovely, because I was never, you know, my dad was always working. I came from one of those families where my dad was always working and I spent a lot of time with my mum. And so that little time was really lovely. And I think he just liked playing music. I think he just liked to, he liked the idea of imparting that knowledge and that passion that he had onto me. And I think, it was really lovely. And I learned so much, and that's, you know, he kind of formed my, I suppose my taste and because I've got quite, I don't think I'm a music, I'm not going to listen to Shania Twain. It's like, well, you know, she's written some good songs. You know, Taylor Swift's written some great songs.
Totally.
Don't be like, because, you know, it's a good song. It's a good song. And so I've never been snobby about music ever. And I think that's because of him. You know, it's because my dad said, just be open to all kinds of music and albums and stuff. And that's what I did. So, yeah, it was lovely. It was really nice.
So, for track 7, you can be DJ now, and it's a song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Well, listen, this is a young girl that I know, and I don't think anybody might. I don't think anybody will know her at the moment, but I urge you to go and listen to her. She's a girl called Emma Noble, and it's a song called No Turning Back, and she's got another song coming out, I think this week or next week, called Woman of the World, which is a very... I think it's quite rare Marvin Gaye. She's covered a Marvin Gaye song. But this one, No Turning Back, she's a DJ and she writes her own songs. And it's kind of, it's funk. It's funk and soul. She's really good. She's really good. She's kind of like Lack of Afro and... Noonday Underground-y kind of person. And she's got the most amazing voice. And she's just reminiscent of that whole kind of 60s soul and funk sound. It's called No Turning Back. It's No Turning Back, and it's Emma Noble. I think she's really worth a listen. She's a great singer and a really good songwriter.
Well, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast where we had all the songs that we spoke about. So people will be able to go over and listen and check out Emma Noble as well. Presuming she's on Spotify.
She is,
She is. Good. And so as we find ourselves hopefully on the way out of lockdown now, and, you know, when things start to sort of resume and safely, fingers crossed, totally... what are you looking forward to, and what have you got coming up?
What am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to going back to work again. I've got a couple of little telly jobs, which are lovely, which are going to happen sort of in September. I'm looking forward to my children going back to school. They go back Tuesday, and I'm literally like, wow, it's like, we're nearly there, kids. And actually, in their defence, they're looking forward to going back as well. So back into a routine that we were in before this craziness of, like, you know, them being at school and seeing their friends and me being able to do stuff during the day and getting back into some sort of routine with work and stuff. I'm really excited about that. And I'm just hoping that nothing scuppers it and that we don't have to have another lockdown. And because I don't know what that'll do for everybody's morale, to be honest. I think everybody's sort of now wanting to move on from this and try and get back to some sort of normality. But I suppose the way to do it is put your headphones on and listen to some music and get through it. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Amanda, thank you so much for your time today. I've had a blast talking
records
with you.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed it. I'm so pleased you got me on. Thank you. Thanks.
There you go. I told you that was a good chat. Amanda was absolutely ace. And yeah, who'd have thought we'd be talking about Dollar, Mel and Kim and the Prodigy, you know, and the Chemical Brothers. I just love it when these kind of chats just pinball all over the place. And she touched on something about, you know, snobbery in music. There is no place for it. You know, the rush you get from hearing, you know, a bit of what, you know, you could think is disposable pop music from a time when you was growing up will evoke something. And I think that's what makes these chats so interesting. Just people talking passionately about, you know, these songs that, you know, just struck a chord with them at some point and, you know, and trigger memories. And that's what I love about music. And that's what I love about, you know, getting to chat to so many of these ace people about their reactions and feelings and memories and nostalgia attached to these records. Anyway, as mentioned at the beginning of the podcast as well, there is 150 or so episodes. So go and get stuck in and have a little look in the archives. As well as that, I did also mention there is a Patreon page. So if you enjoyed this and you want to get access to some more stuff alongside the general releases, then you can also sign up over there and support the podcast. Thanks ever so much for listening. Thanks once again to Amanda for the super chat. And I'll be back next time. Have a lovely day. See you soon. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whiffin.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.